You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hello, happy Saturday. Hope everyone had a wonderful Thanksgiving. Welcome back into the Arrowhead Pride Best of the Week podcast. I'm host and audio producer of the Arrowhead Pride Podcast Network, Steven Serta. The Kansas City Chiefs still have a game to play this week as they take on the Los Angeles Rams at Arrowhead Stadium this Sunday. So plenty to get you caught up on. We'll start things off with the Arrowhead Pride Editor's Show. They had their marinated takeaways from Sunday's win over the Chargers. After that, it's Out of Structure. They're discussing the Chiefs' win and what worked so well against that Chargers team that they can exploit a little bit against this Rams team this weekend. After that, we're going to take a quick timeout. Then when we get back, it's Chiefs Coast to Coast. They had our first full Rams preview of the week. And then we will finish things up with Show and BK, previewing what the Chiefs will need to do on Sunday when they have the football. That's all coming up on today's Arrowhead Pride Best of the Week.
Back here on the Arrowhead Pride Editor Show, and you know what time it is. It's time for our world-famous narrative takeaways, only here on the Arrowhead Pride Editor Show. Steve, I've never thought about this, but maybe it's something we got to talk about after the show off air. We got to get some kind of steak company to back the marinated takeaways. I mean, it just seems like writing on the wall. We've been doing this, what, for 2 or 3 years now? How have we not had a marination steak type of a sponsor for this thing? So we'll work on that. But let's get to the marinated takeaways from this thriller, another one in L.A. It seems like there's always thrillers between the Chiefs and the Chargers, and John will, as we do every week, go to you first. What is your first marinated takeaway from this game?
I'm continue to be struck. I think I addressed this last week as well, but I continue to be struck by how well the defense seems to be playing, but they're not putting up stats that reflect that. And this is, you know, I'm kind of a believer in stats. You know, I think stats are a thing that helps you be honest about your observations and stuff. I'm not saying that you can't, you know, use your eye test to tell you more. That's a part of it too. I think you have to have an eye test and you have to pay attention to stats. But in this case, the defense just seems to be better than the numbers really show them to be. I mean, they're down in the low 20s in points allowed, and even worse than that, I think, in yards allowed now. And that's across the board on most of the useful defensive statistics. The couple of exceptions being sacks and passer rating, where they're really good and really bad.
Yeah.
but they keep making plays in key right. moments and getting the opposing team off the field at exactly the right moment when it matters the most. I think we saw that yesterday once again, where they don't look very good in the beginning of the game and you're thinking, oh my gosh, you know, what are we, oh, this is going to be awful. And then in the second half, they figure it out and start, you know, putting the opposing team back on the sideline after a few plays. And it's just not borne out in the statistics. And I think I heard you say this on the TV last night after the game, that you think this might be the best Spagnuolo defense. And I think you might be right. You just can't measure it very easily, and it's kind of frustrating.
No, I'm with you. And as you were making your point, I pulled up the schedule, and in some of the dominating performances the Chiefs have had this year, you had the other team scoring in the 20s. Arizona mm-hmm. Cardinals, mm-hmm. 44-21. The Chiefs never were a question in that game. Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 41-31. The Chiefs were never a question in that game. San Francisco 49ers was close at the beginning, but it ended up being
right,
a blowout,
right.
44-23. So even in these dominating performances, you're hitting that low 20 mark, which certainly impacts the numbers. My first marinated takeaway has to do with the defense, too, and it fits nicely with yours. I just think what's been impressive is they're really making timely plays. And this has been a more of a recent stretch type of deal. Chris Jones. Micah Parsons is doing what he's doing, and no one's touching Micah Parsons right now. But Chris Jones is for sure one of the top five defensive players in the NFL, and he is putting together a year. We had questions as to whether the Chiefs would keep that cap hit next year. I think it's starting to become more and more clear that they'll be happy to take any cap hit, or maybe there's a slight extension in the works where you could lower it a little bit. But he certainly is not falling off at all, and they need to make Chris Jones a priority. Nick Bolton has become really, really important and good for this team, both from a, I think, setting all these young players up standpoint to making big plays like he did. He should have clinched the game on his forced fumble had it not been for Jerick McKinnon, and then is able to get that tip drill pick to seal the deal. Not to say that there was a threat, but this is still Justin Herbert, who made quite a throw early in the game. You never know what can happen. So key interception by Nick Bolton, Willie Gay with an untouched sack. And John, you were saying, oh, you know, there's not a ton of stats out there. Well, I was able to pull one, and this is from a longtime listener of the Editor Show, happens to be a friend of a friend, and he texted me this, Kevin. He said, well, they have 31 sacks through nine games in 2022. They had 31 all of last year through
seven. Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So the pressure on the quarterback has been there. And so thank you to Kevin, a fan and listener of the show, for that stat. But that's pretty impressive. And a lot has to do with Chris Jones. And I think sometimes we do question the defensive line, but I think the defensive line has looked as good as it has. Mike Dana last night was another player who really has, for whatever reason, Herbert's number, where most of his career sacks, I believe it's been four now, have come against Herbert. And I think it was a nice development to see that Dana is starting to feel healthy after missing a handful of games due to that calf injury as well. So there are some hidden numbers, but you're right. It, as far as what you look at, as far as points per game and yards per game, the Chiefs are the middle of the pack. But I just think because of how young the unit is as a whole and the fact that the defense is playing a big role in winning some of these close games, that's where my energy comes from, calling it Spags' best effort since taking over since 2019.
Right.
All right. What's your next marinated takeaway?
Harrison Butker is back.
The guy's back. Butker's back.
I mean, you know, there's
Butker's
always a possibility
better
that
than ever for Christmas this year.
Yeah. We can always be wrong about this. And obviously he had problems before he was injured with extra points and what all. But he sure looked good last night. Everything was right down the middle. There didn't seem to be any question about his ability to make those kicks last night, and he made every one of them. And thank goodness. That was not something I was going to be looking forward to dealing with over the last weeks of the season, particularly in the postseason. So this is excellent news.
He told us in the locker room not too long ago that he wasn't 100%. He looked 100% last night.
Yeah.
And not to say that you can really learn a ton from body language, but even early – as he was lining up for the kick, he just looked a little bit more confident. I don't know if I am curious to go in the locker room this week and be like, now you're feeling 100%, right? Because he really looked it for the first time last night. And when Butker's 100%, he's one of the better kickers in the NFL. I think maybe just his body hasn't been right for a long time this season. And you're finally, I think, starting to see that take place. But it was key for him to have a 33 yarder early, because not only is that a field goal and not an extra point, it's the distance of an extra point. So you kind of accomplish everything in one shot, where you can get I think your confidence under you a little bit in a very key game. And then also too, you know, you think about this game came down to 3 points. If Butker doesn't make the kicks that he made, he had a 33 yarder in the first quarter, a 54 yarder in the first quarter, or I'm sorry, 52. He had a 30 yarder in the third quarter, and then he made all of his extra points. If Butker isn't on, you lose this football game. And so, I agree with you. I think that was big to see. Okay. I just have my next one is a little negative. Great night for the Chiefs, but this isn't a negative one. And I promise you, my third one is not negative, but so this will be balanced out eventually. You would have expected Marquez Valdes-Scantling to be a little bit more important last night. And he has had some games, but I think he was billed coming into the season as, well, now in Kansas City, we're going to see that he's an all-around receiver. And to me, he's just looked like a lot like what we've seen in Green Bay, which was sort of invisible. And then all of a sudden, maybe he'll make a big time chunk play, but really hasn't been the guy that was getting advertised to us in training camp and the preseason. And this was set up perfectly for him. When you talk about a spot start in the sense where there's going to be more targets, you didn't have Mecole Hardman. You didn't have Juju Smith-Schuster. You lost Kadarius Toney early. One of your pass catching backs that like to pass and dink and dunk with Clyde Edwards-Helaire also went down. Instead of Marquez Valdes-Scantling really being a factor, it was more of a Sky Moore mini breakout. It was Justin Watson, who apparently knows every position on the field. That was the more important player. And you're looking at the salaries and you're like, well, Watson's not even making this much money. You know, Moore's not really making this much money. Not to say that it's killing the Chiefs as far as their production as a whole and the offense as a whole. But for what they brought him in here for and what they paid him for, I don't know if they're getting necessarily a proper return on their investment. Now, there's a lot of season left, and sometimes it takes guys a little bit longer to get in sync with the quarterback than others. But I think it's fair to say it's been slightly disappointing for what has transpired with MVS so far.
Well, in fairness, I think you have to say that part of the problem that MVS had in Green Bay was being on the same team with Devontae Adams. And he sort of has that problem here. Any wide receiver on this team is going to be in Travis Kelce's shadow.
That's fair.
And he's also going to be in Juju Smith-Schuster's shadow to some extent. Smith-Schuster has, you know, stepped up to be the guy for the Chiefs. Now, you know, could Valdes-Scantling have been the guy to step up? Sure, he could have, and he didn't. So ultimately, you have to, you know, make him take responsibility for that. But I agree with you that it's been disappointing. And I was also surprised last night that under the circumstances that existed in yesterday's game, we didn't see more of him, because I thought we would. I thought, just like you, I thought, well, this would be an opportunity for him to show that if he doesn't have to compete with another receiver for the targets, that he can be the guy. And we just haven't really seen that. I mean, the good news is, you know, they're paying him a lot of money, but the good news is that they can walk away from him pretty easily after this season. And so I hats off to Brett Veach for making that deal.
Yeah, especially if Kadarius Toney can come back from this injury and look really good.
Right.
I don't know if you're paying MVS that money if you can get away from it, just because it just... This is what it is. It just feels very replaceable right now for cheaper. He has had the one 111-yard game against the 49ers, but everything else has been, I'm looking quickly here, 90 or under. And if you take away that Raiders game where he had 90, it's like 63 yards or under. Last night he finished with four targets and only caught the one pass for 18 yards. So we'll see. A lot of season left for MVS, but I think it has been disappointing.
I love that at the end of the game, it felt inevitable. And for once, it felt inevitable on both sides of the ball. So when that drive happened, you know, the Chargers go up 27-23. The Chiefs come back. They have a minute, you know, just under 2 minutes to go. You knew when the Chargers scored, I was actually happy that they scored early enough, because you knew they were going to score eventually. And for them to score and then that leave enough time for Mahomes. Minute 46, they get the ball back. We just had this feeling like, yep, here we go. Mahomes is going to drive the field. They're going to score. And of course they did. And of course it was Travis Kelce. Again, feels inevitable. Feels like we've seen this script before against the Chargers. But then when the Chargers get the ball back, there's not a lot of time left. But 31 seconds left, they could have driven down to get in field goal range pretty easily, right? The Chiefs have done it in 13 seconds, so why couldn't they?
They had all three timeouts, too.
They had all three timeouts as well, yeah. So, but you come right out and you get a Chris Jones sack to start off the drive, and then the next play, under a ton of pressure, he throws the interception in the game. So you've got – you just had this feeling like, all right, the defense was getting enough pressure that – they were going to be able to shut that down. I wasn't worried about Mahomes scoring, and I wasn't worried about the Chargers scoring at the end of that game.
Yeah, and the defense just continues to earn themselves that credit, right? I think Spags continues to be really good in the second half, really good situationally, setting up the offense to win games. And that's the thing. We've seen it this year. You talk about how confident you were seeing Mahomes, you know, with a minute 46 left. Hey, he has thrown two game-ending interceptions this season on those exact situations where he had a chance to win the game in the fourth quarter late. But I think you're right. I think and maybe it was just the Chargers opponent. You know, you see the Chargers helmet, you're like, oh, yeah, we definitely got this. And you mentioned it. You mentioned, you know, it feels like the same, you know, script. Well, it literally was the exact same play that they won on last year that Kelce scored on this year. He talked about it. And obviously he has a big game, which we're maybe bearing the lead by not just praising Travis Kelce, you know, so much for battling through the physical coverage that the Chargers were giving him. You know, they've done a really good job with that, especially in week two. He had his lowest production game against the Chargers. And what do you know? He comes out of it, makes a few crazy plays late in the game. The fourth quarter, the first touchdown was an amazing yak play. I can't believe he got in the end zone after that, but that's just how smooth he is. And then obviously, yeah, the mesh play to win the game. Again, the exact same play. It looked the defense gave him the exact same look, and Kelce really diced him up after the catch. Not exactly like last year. It was a further out. It was 30 yards last year. This year it was about 10 yards out, but still kind of the same way where he just turns upfield and makes people miss, and all of a sudden he's in the end zone celebrating a game-winning touchdown. So 2 years in a row, Travis Kelce is sending LA fans home unhappy at their own stadium. Which I know there are a lot of Chiefs fans there, but all that to say is, man, Kelce and Mahomes coming through. I mean, it did feel inevitable, but it's funny because it hasn't always been inevitable this season, but it did feel inevitable. I agree with you.
Absolutely. And one of the reasons I think it felt inevitable for me was the fact that this was a good offensive line game for the Chiefs. In fact, you could argue it was a really good offensive line game. So they ran the ball well, 163 yards, 6 yards per carry on average. They allowed only one sack in this game. You did not get that feeling that Mahomes was under duress. And in fact, there were several plays in this game where Mahomes had all the time in the world to set up and throw. I'm thinking about that long pass down the sideline to Jody Fortson. He had all day to set up for that and put it in a place that I couldn't put it if I was standing 5 feet away from the guy. That was an incredible play, but you had that confidence to say Mahomes is trusting his line. He's getting the protection he needs. And therefore, he's going to make plays. The times where Mahomes has failed the most in the past is when he's under a lot of duress and nobody's getting open, and he just doesn't have time to wait for somebody to get open, and he doesn't have that trust factor. I felt like he trusted his line, and the Chiefs made some adjustments to make sure that he could trust them, especially on that last drive. So they had Jerick McKinnon in the game. That's his specialty, his pass protection. And the occasional screen pass. Screen pass didn't work this week, but pass protection certainly did. And they had him protecting, on that entire drive at the end of the game. They had him lined up right outside Andrew Wiley on the right tackle position and chipping on every single play just to make sure that Mahomes didn't have to worry, that he felt comfortable enough. And when he's comfortable like that, he executes.
Absolutely. And I think the 2 weeks before this game, I think the pass protection was really good. I do think early in this game, there were some spots where I felt like it wasn't great, but I think it did settle in. I think you're right. They settled in. Andrew Wiley, I thought, played, you know, pretty good for his standards. Orlando Brown, you know, did really well on his side. The Chargers were missing Joey Bosa. They didn't have him who makes a huge difference. And I think that's where Wiley maybe, you know, found successes, because he was matched up against Kyle Van Noy, who's basically an inside linebacker. He's not the size of a typical edge rusher. So that helped Wiley a lot.
Yeah, that's a fair point, because that combination of Bosa and Derwin James is what made things difficult for the Chiefs last time around. You know, the way that they were able to get pressure with Bosa, and then James was right there to clean up whatever they tried to do, especially short. He was sitting on the screens. He was sitting on those short routes and really making life difficult. This week, James had to be all over the field And as they would say down south, God bless him. He was trying to cover Kelce, and God bless him. It wasn't his day, because Kelce eventually, you know, you can maybe cover him a little bit. You can bracket him for a while, but whenever they had the opportunity to man up Kelce over James, it usually went Kelsey's way on this day at least.
Yeah, you know, I think James played it the right way, at least. I think James has the size and physicality to match up with Kelce, and he was being physical with him, and the refs were letting him play like that for most of the game. And so that's what you got to do, but you just can't do it for every snap, and especially late in the game when the Chiefs really need it, they dial it up to kind of, get Kelce off the ball so he's not getting jammed right off the line of scrimmage, right? Or motion him around so he's not, it's not easy for the defense to lock in on him and get him open, and then that's what happens. I will say, they let him play like that all game, James, and then they kind of call a flag for pretty much what he was doing all game and not getting called for, and a really important third down for the Chiefs. So I don't know. I kind of tweeted it out. I do think that was a little. I would have been a little sour if I was a Chargers fan about that. But at the same time, it was physical, and so I get the call. They just weren't calling it the rest of the game.
So you're aligned with these Chargers fans on Twitter saying that what would the Chiefs' records be if the refs didn't help them every week, right? This is something that you're buying into.
0-10 if the refs don't help the Chiefs.
No, you look at some of the calls in this game. There were a couple that went the Chiefs' way, but there's a couple that went in the other way as well. Like there was a holding call. There was that crackback block somehow called on Kadarius Toney.
That drove me crazy.
I mean, that it's pretty hard to make an illegal block when you don't even really block the guy. And a crackback, generally, there's a second player involved, right? This is not like something you can do by yourself out on the edge. I don't know how they called that one.
Yeah, no, I thought Toney did it perfectly. He got to the defender's front, right? He didn't hit him from the side. So I thought that was a really weird call.
The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
What's up, guys? I'm Evan Turner, co-host of the Point Forward podcast, alongside Andre Iguodala. We got a special series out now, all about our favorite NBA cities, the greatest places to travel, the evolving cultures and cuisines, and some of our most memorable experiences while we were on the road during our many years in the NBA. We talk about Miami, Chicago, New York, and many more. Tune in to Courts and Culture, the Point Forward travel guide, sponsored by Hennessy. You can find it on Point Forward Feed on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts.
Is Travis Kelce the greatest tight end of all time?
I actually don't think he is right now. I think he can be eventually.
I wasn't expecting to hear you say that. I thought you were going to come full pom-poms today.
Nah, man. See, you try to do that to me. I'm objective, man. But it's a fair question. It is a fair question. You know, but I don't think right now. I think he's definitely top three. He'll be my top three, but I think I'm still going to put Gronk at number one at this moment. I think just his touchdown numbers were ridiculous. He was really good in yak. And then also, talking about all-around tight ends, he was one of the best blocking tight ends as well. So you got to consider that. You know, I know it's just all about – people want to talk about the catches and stuff like that, but blocking matters too. And not say Kelce is not a good blocker, but Gronk was arguably the best blocking tight end. He was essentially another offensive lineman out there for the Patriots through all them years. So I think he's number one right now. But I think Kelce, if he does this for another at this level, I say if he plays another 3 years at this level after this one, then we have a different conversation.
Yeah, this came from Patrick Mahomes after the big win at SoFi, 30-27. He says, we just kind of went through what we do every single day in practice, everything like that, and we executed. Travis is Travis. He's the greatest tight end of all time. He makes plays like that win games. I thought a lot of young guys stepped up, and some guys that don't necessarily have major roles stepped up on that drive, and it was good to see. He's making a case for it, man. And I think when you're talking about him and Gronk specifically – it hurts that they didn't close out that Super Bowl in Tampa. That was kind of the swing one where you think from Mahomes versus Brady legacy and then also Gronk versus Kelsey legacy. If the Chiefs win that Super Bowl, I think these conversations sound a little bit different, but now you're saying two or three versus one or two, and there's still time. There's absolutely still time on that absolutely. One. How about I see Chiefs special teams. We've talked about that. Do you want to slam the Chiefs special teams unit again? Got anything for them?
Well, can I give some praise? I want to give praise to Harrison Bucker. I said last week I need to see two straight clean games for him to feel like he's back. So that was number one. He didn't miss any extra points, didn't miss any field goals. So if he could put together another clean game this Sunday, I would feel like, okay, I'm confident in him now. I think he's back. So congrats to him, because it's easy to rag on him when he's missing. We don't ever talk about him when he's making them. So I think he deserves little flowers today. But let me just say this. It was inside. It was with no elements. It was in SoFi. No wind, nothing like that. So let's see what he does on Sunday. I'm not sure what the weather's going to be in Kansas City, but I know it's not going to be as pretty as it was in SoFi. So let's see.
That's why you moved out the town, huh? You couldn't handle the elements anymore in KC?
I mean, did you hear me complaining on Saturday about how cold it was outside?
That's because you had a silk shirt with your nipples pressing through. You need to start wearing some, like, actual, like, jackets and stuff, you know? Let's get to our game preview, man.
Stop it. Stop it. You can't do this. You can't escape. You can't make these plays. You can't make these throws.
Come on, give us a sneak preview.
Chiefs preview. Chiefs, Rams, Arrowhead Stadium, week 12 in the National Football League. This one, not many people have their eye on. As often as the Chiefs are in the spotlight, this is one that will not be getting very much red zone treatment, in my opinion. It starts with an update on the Rams quarterback situation. 12 minutes ago from Adam Schefter, it's Rams head coach Sean McVay ruling out quarterback Matthew Stafford. They're saying it's a strained neck or a neck injury, but there were concerns that it could possibly be concussion related. I know this was the second time in 3 weeks that he was being evaluated for a concussion. Look, man, it's been a tough year for the reigning Super Bowl champs. Cooper Kupp is already on injured reserve with an ankle injury of his own. Matthew Stafford, we know, will miss this one. We mentioned Daryl Henderson, who is now a Jacksonville Jaguar. It's tough sledding for the Rams, whose new quarterback one is, what's his name? Bryce Perkins?
Yeah, Bryce Perkins. Yep.
What you think, Mark?
Well, I don't have any Bryce Perkins analysis, so you're not going to get that from me today, unfortunately. But, you know, bigger picture on the Rams here. Very unfortunate, because I would say, you know, just shut down Stafford and, you know, just tank the season. Well, they don't have a first-round pick. That first-round pick is going to the Detroit Lions.
They said F them picks. Remember that? Remember that?
So they can't even tank, which is unfortunate for them at this point. So, but I still think they probably will shut down Stafford because he's older. You know, you don't want to play with the neck and things like that. Obviously, with Cooper Kupp out, he's on an IR, so this is a lost season regardless. So no need to bring those guys back if you're the Rams, big picture wise. Just sucks you don't have a first round pick. But, you know, to this game, I mean, before the year, this is supposed to be a marquee game. This is one that you circled on the calendar. Absolutely. This is one that Aaron Ladd was excited to be at on an Arrowhead on Sunday afternoon. America's game of the week on Fox, baby, 325. But nah, it's not. It's Bryce Perkins versus Patrick Mahomes. No Cooper Kupp. I mean, you know me, lad. You know I like to say Chiefs by two touchdowns.
There it is. That
stuff. Well, can you blame me this week if I go there?
Appreciate that, sir.
I know we're not to the betting part yet, so I don't want to spoil it yet. But, you know, I mean, I don't see how the Rams are going to be able to have sustained drives and score points in this game. I just really don't. When you're not having Stafford, you're not having Cooper Kupp. I just don't understand. I don't see how it's going to happen. I really don't. And this Chiefs defense, you know, they gave up 27 last week, but only 7 in the second half. They buckled down in the second half, made some adjustments. And we know how Spags is against these young, unexperienced quarterbacks like a Bryce Perkins, like Malik Willis. He's going to bring it every possession. I mean, he's going to just go crazy with the blitz packages. I can see it right now, especially we don't have a Cooper Kupp, a safety valve at a receiver. So I just don't see how the Rams are going to be able to do much at all offensively in this game.
It was an offense that was limited when Cooper Kupp was out there, man.
Yeah.
I mean, really, this was a team that was leaving a locker open for Odell on purpose because they needed more offensive playmakers. They needed guys who were going to spread the field. And it's not a game that I think will be very competitive for very long. But Andy Reid talked on his typical Wednesday availability earlier today and said a few things. He said, you know, I still see 99. I still see 5. And this is traditional Andy Reid fashion. He's not going to overlook any opponent. And I think that that's what Kansas City needs to do. Get some things right, right? Like at the end of that LA game or kind of in the second half, I tweeted this out too. There was so much attrition. No Juan Thornhill out there. You got defensive guys going out left and right. That tests your depth. Maybe this is a depth test game. Ooh, say that 3 times fast. Maybe this is a depth test game for Kansas City. Brian Cook gets a few more reps out there. Maybe Trent McDuffie gets a few more reps, who's been getting a lot of targets sent his way over the last 2 weeks. Maybe that's another topic for a different pod. But, you know, there's, in the words of Eric Bieniemy, keep chopping wood. This is a perfect opportunity for Kansas City to keep chopping wood. You're on a 4-game winning streak right now. This is a team that's blood in the water. Handle your business and move on to the next week.
Yeah, you know, if you're a player on the team, you're part of the coaching staff, you're in that building at One Arrowhead Drive, I don't want you to overlook the Rams. But me, as a spectator, as a guy that supports, as a fan.
Oh, clip that. Sir, to clip it.
Night-night. Night-night. I mean, come on. Give me a break. And I understand Andy Reid has to say that. I get it. But you know what? 99 and number 5, they're going to be on the field a lot. I see a lot of 3-and-outs, a lot of quick drives from their offense, and they're going to be burnt out by the second half because they're going to be in the field so much. They're not going to be able to sustain drives and keep Mahomes off the field. So, yeah, I get it. Coach speak, I respect it. Keep your guys locked in. You're still battling for the 1 seed. You know, as you know, they could say they don't want it or whatever. You know, you want it. Ultimately, you want it because
need it. Need win. Extra bye week. It's only one of them.
Yeah, you only got to win 2 games to get to the Super Bowl, and you got them both at home. So you're going to take that every year you can get it. So you got teams on your heels like the Bills still right behind you who own the tiebreaker over you. So that's crucial. Got Miami right there. You know, so, you know, you got teams still right on your bumper. So you don't want to let up against a team that you should obviously win pretty handily.
Let's go to Vegas real quick, man.
Place your bets.
Oh, there it is. There it is. 2 touchdowns. Win by at least first.
Let's go to Vegas with Mark.
Mark was a little spicy in our pre-production group chat. I got his season total wrong, and he chirped back, quit.
I mean, you're trying to mess up my record, bro. I mean, come on. That's not good business. Like, give me my extra win. Give me my win.
Oh, gosh. Mark went 2-0 last week. He only gave us 2 plays, and they both hit. He had Kelce going over 82.5 receiving yards. Travis Kelce had 115 receiving yards. No tight end in NFL history has more 100-yard receiving games than Travis Kelce. He broke that record in the win over the Chargers. And then Mark picked the Chargers to cover. It was 5.5, and 30-27 was the final. So that's a 2-0 week for Mark. He's perfect in week 11, and 15-12 on the year going in to week 12. How you feeling, man? I mean, you got to be, I mean, confident, right?
Yeah, I mean, I feel pretty good. I mean, to be 15-12 at this point in the season, I think you would take that.
Absolutely.
You know, considering I had a couple of bad weeks here and there. So, you know, just to be over 500, you know, pretty comfortably, and I can extend it this week, I feel pretty good. And, you know, unfortunately, there's no player props available right now. So, like you said last week, maybe we may have to add on another play, like, before the game. We might have to do that like behind the channels here in our group text.
Yeah, we'll go behind the scenes. Yeah.
Message. So I do have two plays though, still based on just the totals of the game. I have the under on the total points. It's at 43 right now. Obviously, you know, they're considering the Rams probably won't score that much in this game. So I like that number for the under because we know Andy Reid and the Chiefs, if they get up real big, I can see them kind of letting their foot off the gas in the second half, you know, running the ball. Mahomes may sit in the fourth quarter. So I think the Chiefs will score probably in the low 30s, but I don't see the Rams scoring more than 10 points in this game. So when I consider that, I think the under on 43 is really, really a good play here. And then my other play is, I know it's a big number, but I'm taking it anyway. I'm not scared of the spread. Chiefs minus 13 and a half, two touchdown win. I mean, like I just said, it's the same thing. The Rams aren't going to be able to score in this game. I don't see how they're going to be able to keep it even competitive at all. So 13 and a half to me still feels kind of low.
Considering, I thought I saw 14 and a half at some point this week. 13 and a half.
You saw it at 14 and a half?
I did, well, yeah.
Okay, I locked it in at 13 and a half, though. It may have moved since then. But, I mean, even at 14 and a half, I'll still take it. So, I think the Chiefs win this game by 17 or more points. So, you know, I know it's a big number. People may be a little scared about it, but please, don't overthink it. The Rams starting a first-time quarterback. They don't have Cooper Kupp in this game. It's in Arrowhead. The Chiefs are going to roll. So, those are my two plays. The under on the total points at 43 and the Chiefs covering at 13 and a half.
Like in the NFL standards, that's wide open that he ran away from. Something they're doing and repeated it. Jacksonville, there's a play where he's just streaking down the middle of the field for 40, 50 yards alone. And it's like it happened in this game. They do it multiple times a week. They know in the red zone, hey, he wants to go to Kelce against the Raiders. Four damn times in the red zone, he still got it, and he'd be wide open sometimes. That part of it is, every team is going into knowing the Chiefs want to throw the ball and knowing who they want to throw the ball to, and it's not that they just get him high volume. It is that they get him wide open, and I got to give that credit to the coaching staff.
There's a couple of things that you honed in on there that I think they absolutely deserve a lot of credit for, Ron. The first thing is what you were mentioning there with the red zone. I don't think there's anybody that designs the red zone better than Andy. And I think they've been like at the top of their game this year. They've been in their bag of tricks and it's been like consistently from start to finish so far this year. I don't know how many times, Ron, you watch red zone during Sundays as well as I do. Sir, I know you do the same thing. When the Chiefs aren't on, and especially like last week where they're on Sunday Night Football, and you get an opportunity to watch some of these other offenses when they're in the red zone, you realize how limited some of them are in terms of what they are willing to run down there. We're just like, hey, we're going to run in a running back ISO right down the middle. That's just stuff that you rarely see with Andy. And I think sometimes we take it for granted, and sometimes we're like, God, he's getting so cute down here. That stuff works when it's in such confined areas. So I will give him a lot of credit for that. The other thing that you mentioned about the running game, I think that's as much about personnel as it is anything else. I think they've done a really good job about identifying which personnel to use and in what ways. And that's a big part of coaching, and I'm not trying to diminish it at all. But like when you look at their running game, do you know how many coaching staffs would just say, Clyde Edwards-Helaire was the first round pick and we're going to keep running with this? Like he's the guy. And I don't care if it's not working out well, he's going to continue being the guy. This coaching staff didn't care. They decided midway through the season, it's not worth it anymore. We cannot keep doing this with Clyde. He is not our best guy. Isaiah Pacheco is just flat out better. And so guess what they've done? They've made the move to Isaiah Pacheco, and that was even before Clyde got hurt. So they deserve credit for that. I also think they deserve credit for, and listen, I'm the biggest Sky Moore guy there was. They brought him along really slowly, and there's probably a reason for that. It's probably because early in the season, there wasn't a lot of trust that had to been developed. I think they found the exact correct role for Mecole Hardman before he got hurt. They were utilizing Juju Smith-Schuster in a way that, man, if that guy was utilized that way over the last few years in Pittsburgh, I think we would have viewed him a lot differently. So I think they've done a really good job in utilizing their personnel correctly. I guess the reason why I push back a little bit on it in saying that it's not like an A-plus year from them is because we grade Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy on a curve. and they have been at the forefront of changing schematics in the NFL. And I don't necessarily know that we've seen that this season. I don't think that they like changed the way that football is played or anything like that. And I think they did a few years ago.
I have one more thing that I would like to say about the defense, but before I do, I need to remind you guys that DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is the place to go when betting on the NFL this holiday season. New customers can bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game and get $150 in free bets if they do. Plus, everyone can earn up to a 100% boost with DraftKings stepped-up same-game parlays. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code 5Questions. Place a $5 bet on any NFL team to win their game and get $150 in free bets if they do. That's code 5Questions only at DraftKings Sportsbook. We talked about Steve Spagnuolo and everything that he is scheming for this defense and the way he is making these things work with, you know, some guys that we weren't confident in headed into the season. And it's something I've been talking to the guys at AP about. I think Spags is having his best season ever as a defensive coordinator right now. And I don't know if people outside of Kansas City are necessarily recognizing what he's pulling off this season, but I feel like Spags might get some head coaching looks if this defense continues to improve. All these young members on the defensive side of the ball, this entire young secondary, which if Juan Thornhill's not available this week, Brian Cook is going to be another rookie starter back in that secondary. I'm surprised there hasn't been a little bit more hype around Spags as a guy that's going to get some head coaching looks this offseason.
It's definitely been his best coaching job since probably the Giants. The Giants, when he was the DC there, and they were able to develop game plans to beat Brady in the Super Bowl. Probably since then, for me, it's hard, man. If he gets a job before Eric Bieniemy, I'll just pass the hell out. Which probably right now I'd probably bet on that over Eric, but I don't know, man. I think this is a perfect example. Like Josh McDaniel, this is his lane. And I think this is like, he'd be a fool to bounce away. The way that Travis Kelce is smart and just keeps himself tied to 15, I think old Steve's better be smart, just keep himself tied to Andy, to me.
That's where I'm at on it as well. I think he's going to go down as one of the best defensive minds of this generation, and if he continues staying with the Kansas City Chiefs for the next, you know, 3-5 years, however much longer he wants to do this, and he's got a chance to win another ring or two, maybe more, and he'll go down as having more defensive game plans. The ones that are remembered, we all know how this works. They come in the playoffs, and he's going to have a chance to be able to put those together moving forward as well. So I think that's the best case scenario for everybody involved. Final thing that I wanted to add here, Ron. I think I've got an announcement. I think this is my favorite Chiefs team of the Mahomes era. Like I think I'm willing and ready to go there now. And I don't think it's the best one. I don't think it's the most explosive one or anything like that. But there's something about this team, and this is a weird thing to say about the Chiefs with Mahomes. They're kind of gritty, and they've got an edge to them, and they're super likable, and you've got this, I'm not saying it's a chemistry that's developed just this season, but I think we're seeing the best version of Kelce and Mahomes together right now. The defense has so many new pieces that are fun to watch. I think this is my favorite Chiefs team. And I think a big part of that is because of how much they've been pushed this year compared to some other recent seasons.
I think by the end of it, you said it's your favorite. I think by the end of it, I think we will say it is the best Chiefs team. I know Tyreek Hill is not here, but Travis Kelce is playing at an unbelievable level. And this is the best Patrick Mahomes.
For sure.
Even the MVP season, this is the best Patrick Mahomes. This offensive line's better. Already the defense, this is the best defense they've ever had to me in this. Like, this defense can go and win games. I mean, they get 7 points. The second half's what they're doing. This is better. I mean, the championship team, that, like, listen, I can't go with Pat's first year. They were extremely explosive. That defense was so bad. I can't put that.
The thing that's funny is they didn't win the Super Bowl. I think their best team, at least going into the playoffs, was 2020. I think that was the season where everything kind of came together. Yeah.
The injuries. Yeah. Well, I don't know. I think this defense, this is the best, by far to me, the best defense. And I think we'll even feel better about it by the end. I think the offensive line better. This is the best run game I think they've had in this deal. So I think it may end up proving to be the best team that they have. All right. We thought this Rams game was going to be another big game on the schedule. But they are horrible. What do they got? 3 wins? Are they 3-7? Good hell. They're a bad football team and worse. They've got injuries all around the place. In this game, we know Cooper Kupp's not going to be there, and there's a great potential Matt Stafford's not there. But when the Chiefs have the ball against this Ram defense that still has Aaron Donald, the best defensive player in the world, and it still has Jalen Ramsey on it. I mean, they've got players over there. But to me, last week, I think we talked about the Chargers' run defense and how it's one of the worst in the league. Well, the opposite here. The Rams, even with Jalen Ramsey back there and Aaron Donald, which is a part of their passing defense, they're one of the worst. And the Chiefs should be able – and the Chiefs are going to have injury issues. We'll see if Juju is back. We know Hardman's not going to be there. We'll see about Kadarius Toney, but they still should be able to pass the ball at a major level. The pass defense they're going up against this week compared to last week with the guys they have in the front seven for the Chargers with Derwin James and company back there is so much worse than this one, even with Aaron Donald and with Jalen Ramsey. They should eat them alive. And Mahomes should have another one of those number days where he adds to his MVP case right now. And this could be one of those 300 plus. Like, it feels like he could throw 400 in for 400 in this game, but it'll just be stopped because how the game goes and that they're not going to just try to bury him. But this is a game where the Chiefs should look really explosive in the passing game.
Every week this season here at Arrowhead Pride, we'll be cooking up our very own same game parlays that our good friends at DraftKings will put right on their homepage for all of you and all of our loyal fans to follow each and every week throughout the NFL season. This week, Thanksgiving week, our parlay will be up on our Arrowhead Pride Twitter feed later on this afternoon, so make sure you are locked into that. Set up notifications, do whatever you gotta do, just make sure you're locked into the Arrowhead Pride Twitter feed, where we will have a link up later this afternoon for you to tail our same game parlays each week. DraftKings has new offers and great ways to make your Sunday more fun. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details.
Yeah, the best offenses that have gone up against the Rams this year have just put up, crazy efficiency numbers through the air. Like last week, for example, this is not even a good team, but the New Orleans Saints finished with 10 yards per attempt through the air, 3 touchdowns, no picks. I mean, you go back even in recent weeks, it's week after week. They're putting up 250-ish. They're averaging 7, 8, 9 yards per attempt week by week. The efficiency is through the roof against them right now. They actually are okay. They're pretty good against the run, but against the pass, they just – and I can't really explain it, Ron. It's kind of like everything with the Rams where you look at it and you kind of squint your eyes and you're wondering – why isn't this coming together? But for whatever reason, defensively, it just has not come together for them, especially against the pass. I'm guessing some of that is just their defense gets exhausted over the course of the game. And there's only so much you can do because their offense is consistently getting pushed off the field, 3 and out, 3 and out, 3 and out. Now you're back out there once again. They stink in the red zone. They don't stop anybody in the red zone. This is just, it's a defense that you should be able to take advantage of.
Yeah, they're going to eat them alive. I mean, they don't have a soul that can cover Kelce, and the only person that potentially can would be Ramsey. But then that's just going to leave you to hell in a handbasket with everybody else. And the way that Sky Moore came on in this last game, the way that I think, this could be one of those. This feels like one of those. Oh, MVS sightings. Right.
Or
any of them. It doesn't matter.
MVS will have 2 catches for 76 yards.
Yeah.
I will say this, though.
This still is a bit of a challenge that I'll watch with the offensive line. Aaron Donald is still dominant. And we know the Chiefs are the Patriots. The Chiefs are Duke. The Chiefs are Alabama. They're Kansas basketball. They're Kentucky. They're all of those to where they're going to be on TV. This is going to be a game where that's in most households at 325. And Aaron Donald is seeing Patrick Mahomes on the other side. Jalen Ramsey seeing Patrick Mahomes on the other side. Leonard Floyd may come alive. Because of who they're playing, you know you're going to get the best. And this is something Joe Tooney, Creed Humphrey, and Trey Smith especially. But the guys up front, can you put together another good performance? And this will be a challenge. Aaron Donald is a challenge anyway, but this will be a challenge for that offensive line. So I don't want to just poo-poo that. They've struggled, but I bet you we see a different Rams defense because of who they're playing.
And Ron, I don't know if you're watching the in-season version of Hard Knocks. I've been watching it a little bit, and I just recently watched the week where the Cardinals were going up against the Rams. And all week, like, the only thing they focused on was 99. Like, hey, we got to make sure that we're good with 99. Make sure that we know where 99 is. And they were starting a rookie right guard going into that game. And he ended up holding up pretty well against the Rams. And you look at this one, and what the Cardinals tried to do in that game, and they showed this behind the scenes a little bit, is they were like, hey, we got to get the ball out really quickly. And that was the game where they had Colt McCoy starting for him, and he just immediately got rid of the ball on basically every play. That's just never going to be the Chiefs' offense with Patrick Mahomes. But I think you're going to see some of that stuff where they're getting it out quickly. And because you don't have Juju, and if you don't end up having Kadarius Toney, I can't believe I'm saying this. I actually do think that we're going to see a decent amount of Sky Moore in this one, because he's the one that feels like he's easiest to utilize in that way. Like Justin Watson, downfield threat. MVS, downfield threat. I think the two guys that you could get on those like now routes are probably Travis Kelce and Sky Moore. And I think Sky is more likely to be utilized in that way in this game. So I think this is going to be potentially the biggest Sky game that we've seen so far this year.
And he's a baller. So,
well, there's that too.
Field more, and we will see him more this week. I can't wait.
And yeah, Ron, to your point on this being like
that so much.
To your point on this being a big game for the Rams, I also think they know, like, if I think they know they don't have a chance to win it, but if they're going to win, they're probably going to have to score defensively. And so I think that, and this, like, the next 2 weeks are their season. If they lose to the Chiefs and the Seahawks, they're done. It is completely over. They will be not mathematically eliminated, but for all intents and purposes, eliminated from any kind of playoff contention before you get to Christmas. So this is a huge, huge game for them in every possible way.